Blog Talk Radio.
Done enough.
Here We're Live. I love that song. Oh, it's a lot of what Journey of Light is all about. We are the world. We can make a difference. And that is what I'm going to be talking about here on this show. And I'm going to be talking about some very sensitive things to near and dear to my heart. And I only do one of these shows every, the last time I did one was 8 months ago. Because the topics I'm going to be talking about tonight are, as I said, are very near and dear to my heart. And I may get a little teary-eyed from time to time, so you have to excuse me. But what I do is I make one of these, and then I go ahead and feature it so that people that are coming to the show can listen to it at different times. I know everybody's not going to be here for the live show. Radio don't work that way anymore. And I've been doing this too long to know better. So I put it in the featured section so it's up top so when people come, they know about the show, because Journey in the Light has been on the air 9 years. Straight, and I've done well over 4,000 shows, and I know, you know, most people that are listening today weren't here in the first years, and really that was the making of the show, and that's in the first years is when I talked a lot about why I was doing this show, and we had many very emotional shows because I was. I was for the first time getting it all out of me verbally, all that I've been through and why this show is happening. And so people that tune in now, they don't know this. They might just think, well, it's just another psychic show. And it's not, it's not even a psychic show, you know. So that's why I wanted to do is spend this show going over with all of you who are listening to me live or archive, it don't matter, who I am, what's the show about, how did it get started, and then I want to take some time to speak about something near and dear to my heart, the homeless mission. And so some of these things may get kind of emotional. I will try to refrain from not, but that's what we're going to be speaking about here on this show so you can get a sense of everything. So with that being said, let's start from the beginning, okay? So why did I start the show? There's several reasons, but it all dates back for one particular episode that happened to me. And if it wasn't for this, there would be no Journey into the Light. I can for sure tell you that. So going back to my childhood, you know, I grew up with a dad who was an alcoholic, which made it very difficult. But I need to say in his last couple of years, he did try and did stop a lot of the drinking. It's really what made him evil. I mean, it was so bad that, you know, when he would leave the house at night, we would, you know, pray us kids, us four of us, that he wouldn't come back. That's how bad it was. Now, because, you know, kids don't normally do that with their parents. Parents are everything to them. And, so at age 13 on a March, rare winter storm morning, I woke up to hearing screams of my mom trying to wake up my dad. And unknowns to all of us, you know, he died during the night. And he did have a little bit of a cold, flu maybe, a pretty bad cold actually. But I guess his heart was weak. And so at age 13, you know, I see my dad wheeled out of the room, no longer have him. And I always talk about on the show about, you know, don't ever neglect or, you know, take for granted your loved ones, because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. Many people who haven't been through what I had think that, well, when their parents or whatever, friends get older, then or get in the hospital, they start getting sick, then they'll definitely spend those last minutes with them. A lot of times it don't happen that way. And I found that out very early on. So that was at age 13. And then at age 16, I was driving the car and we were all going from Nebraska to Colorado to visit my brother. And everything was good. We just left a cafe. We were getting close to his place, and I knew where he lived. We were there once, and I knew where to go, but everybody in the car convinced me I was going the wrong way. Had to turn around and call him, my brother, so he would come back and we could follow him. The reason that I'm mentioning this is because that delay caught me, you know. What I'm going to tell you next, this wouldn't have happened if we hadn't turned around. Everything's for a purpose, though, right? So we're following my brother to his place, and out from the side of the woods, out comes a dog. Now, he's running alongside of the car, so I don't hit him, but he's running alongside of the car. I can't go in the other lanes because it's a two-lane highway. Cars, trucks are coming. And then we hear like a little clip, you know, on the back tire. We must have, we did hit one of his paws. Yeah, I look in the back window and he was limping, but he wasn't like dead or nothing like that. But my mom, it took her as shock, because she thought we actually hit somebody, and she was so afraid of ever harming or hurting anybody. She was the kindest soul I've ever met, and so that shock made a blood clot unknown to her, even though she dealt with blood clots, but didn't know she had a problem at that moment. But it made a blood clot shoot to her heart, and there, you know, on the in the car, she died. Witnessed her head go back, and then for 1 second she lifted up her head and looked at me and said, her exact words were, "Man, that was weird." And then a split second later, her head went back again, and she never recovered from that. And that was at age 16. So by the age 16, and I still had to go through my senior year in high school, we were no parents. So we had to see what grandparents we would go to. So my grandma, bless her heart, came from Chicago, moved to Nebraska with us kids, and stayed with us till we graduated high school and went on to college. And so there was my foundation. At 16, no parents. My connection with God was severed. Was not severed, but was very well, very damaged. I could not understand what kind of loving God would do that to kids who have no parents. They're not even out of school yet, I thought. How could that be? So I knew God was there, but I thought God was pretty dark, pretty just not loving. So This is probably a bad week to do this show, Bonnie. So that is the foundation of my search into where, where did my parents go? Why did they die? But more essentially, where did they go? You know, searching in the paranormal. I always then, besides reading a lot of books, always whenever going by a cemetery, going by a funeral home, would always have to look. Because, death was a big part of my early life. You know, growing up Catholic, especially back then, we had to, as kids, sit in front of our dead parents for 3 days straight. We had to go 2 days of the wake in the funeral home and then another half day with the funeral and all that. I mean, imagine that. So you could understand my prayer when I had my kids was, please let my kids graduate school until my time to go. After that, if it's my time, I'm ready to go. And I was very grateful that I was able to see my kids graduate. So digressing a little bit there. But anyway, that was my looking into where did my parents go? What about the afterlife? So when I saw a book on the shelf, just happened to be in a bookstore, and it was back in the New Age section, and I saw one from Damien Brinkley speaking about near-death experience that he had. And I took it home, read it so fast, and I was amazed at what God was like, what heaven was like. I had no idea. It's like, oh my God, I couldn't get enough books fast enough about near-death experiences, and I absorb them, anybody's, valid story of them being dead, I couldn't get enough of it. And that led me into spirituality, and that started to change my heart. My heart before that was pretty hardened. My wife will tell you that. I mean, when we first got married, I didn't even want kids. It was just my whole focus was work, make money, work, move up the corporate ladder at the bank I was in. That was me. But once I started reading these books, I felt my heart changing, and I started really caring for I was a supervisor at the bank, so I had people under me, and I was caring for them, and I knew I was changing, and I knew I wasn't going to be there long at the bank anymore. I just couldn't. So fast forward now to 2007, 2008. So my wife and I are running a electronics business online very successfully worldwide. And then, but I knew in the back of my mind, I wanted to help people. And in my mind, what came to me, the message was always homeless, 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 homeless. And so in 2008, as most people know, the economic collapse happened throughout the world. Many people lost their homes, business. Well, we lost our business. We lost our home, our dream home that we just built. Wasn't good, but we had to move. But, that's life, right? So during that time, I thought and knew this was my time to give it a try. What the heck, right? So I started a show, and and you can go back and you can actually listen to some of the original shows. And the show was originally looking into the paranormal, really, is how the show started. And the original name of this show started off because I was helping people with hauntings throughout the country. And and my focus was a little bit different. And the name of the show, when we first started off, was called Ghosts and Demons, because it was a look at ghosts and it was a look at the dark side of entities, demons. At the time that I was, you know, this was, again, 9 years ago, okay? So as we kept going and the show started, you know, taking off, and I started noticing folks getting help from it, receiving emails and people saying, this is what your show does for me, Michael. And I knew this was something I wanted to do full time, and I prayed to God, show me the way that I could do this full time to help souls. And that's all I ask for. And God showed me the way how to make it, you know, into something that we could do on a regular full-time basis. And the show was called Ghosts and Demons. And then people would come to me and they would tell me privately, they said, Michael, I love your show, but there's one thing. And I said, well, what's that? That they didn't like, it was the name. They said, I have a hard time tuning in because the name of demons. I'm like, really? That's just dark entities. But they're like, yeah. I was like, okay, well, I see your point. So we changed the name to Journey into the Light, because that more represented where the focus of the show is and still is, about going into the light. You know, what is the light? We talk about, you know, near-death experiences and going into the light and, you know, and all the beauty that's there. And here on Earth, we're trying our best to get close to the light, to get our souls as purified as possible, right? We're trying to get our souls as good and as caring and as loving as possible. We learn about the saints and like Saint Teresa, the Little Flower. Oh my goodness, if you haven't read her autobiography, you really need to. I'd be surprised if she ever came back again. She was, oh my God, her soul, to reach that level, if that's what's needed, I guess I'll be coming back many times. But, you know, that is the journey, and that's what the show is about. So that's how the show got started. If it wasn't for the tragedy with my parents and also the tragedy of losing our home and everything, there wouldn't be Journey into the Light. Those two things had to come together. And as painful as both of them were, it was for a really good cause, right? And so there started the show. And I promised you that in the last hour or so, I would talk about the first years, and the first years were a really big struggle, because I was new to Blog Talk Radio, and other shows were established, and they saw how the show was growing so fast, and we brought in the top names in the spiritual field, and they, I guess, felt threatened, and I received the unbelievable hate from anonymous people that would come into the chat room, cause all kinds of problems. I even had people calling me at home and telling me off, people writing me and saying horrible things, unbelievable, yes. And back then, there were these internet trolls that came around, not just my show, but there was actual host on Blog Talk Radio that ran spiritual shows that actually hired these trolls to come, and they actually would pay these people to come, and these trolls were like a bunch of, I guess, kids have nothing better to do but hop on their computer and go to certain chat rooms where they can go and say a whole bunch of profanity and a bunch of horrible things. And at that time, my kids were like 14, 15. So they were helping me with the show, especially my daughter. My daughter was in the chat room and she would be helping kicking them out. And she would at times be clicking that mouse as fast as she could, kicking them out. She was so cute. He's like, "Dad, I got some more." And her name is Holly, and her and Nick are just the light of my life. And she would come into my office, and she would come with her laptop when the show would get ready to start. And she would get her blanket, and she'd lay on the floor of the office, was her comfortable spot with her kitty, Mary. And she would get her laptop, and she, you know, anyway, I'm kind of reminiscing a little bit, but that was what we would do. So, but these people that now all these people that were had spiritual shows on Blog Talk, they're long gone. And of course, you know, we obviously know why. You know, I mean, you don't run that kind of show saying you're spiritual, and there is a such thing as karma, right? So those were the early years. And so, you know, we had I had to basically put the chat room on monitor. So anybody that put comments in there, I would have to approve each one of them at times before it would show up. And also people that called in, I had to really screen them because they would like to, you know, call in also so they could say horrible things. But, you know, I learned so much and I was really good at catching them because all the trolls, except for one, all the trolls were always males, always. So if there was a guy caller, those were the ones, you know, if you let them on the radio, I always had my finger on the mute button. And even nowadays, sometimes I do. Just for that point. But it was never female. Never. Always guys. So a lot of times I would have to screen them in the screen room really hard saying, "Well, what are you calling about?" "Well, I'm just..." I said, "Well, you don't know what you're calling about?" And so you would learn a lot. So, yeah, but you would know... Like, for example, in the chat room, you would know that you were being attacked because you could have 20, 30 people in the chat room talking nicely, and all of a sudden you get like 200 people in the chat room in like 1 minute, just a swarm of them. So you know, because that's what they do. They basically get a group and they come to a certain location and they say, "Okay, here's the link. Go to this show and attack." And that's what they do. And then they would get orders to leave that show and go attack another show. And this would go on day after day, really. This is what we went through. And things are not like that anymore. Blog Talk, thankfully, has come out with programs to stop that pretty much. Though it can still happen, but they've gotten a lot better about it. And during this time, Blog Talk very much stayed behind me. They knew I ran a good show. And so they were really great working with me. So I do have to say that. So that is where, where the show was. And, you know, and it's progressed, and what's the show about? You know, the show is about, people say, "Well, it's about psychics, about healers." No, it's really about helping the caller where they're at, because there's people may call in about, you know, when do you think this is going to happen? You know, maybe get a job, maybe love, but there's an underlining problem, because I've learned in my 9 years, people don't call into the show if they're happy and everything's just great. There's an underlining problem. And what I like is, and hope that my guests can or myself, I definitely have taken calls on air or off air, can get to that hurt and help people. Because, you know, we've had people call in even with people that have wanted to end their own lives. I remember a lady calling into the show, and those are the calls that always get me and always tell me that we're doing good. Lady called in and called into the guest. There was actually two guests on at once, and said she was really low voice, and she said, "I don't know if I can go on with my life or if it's worth it." And the guest really didn't really pick that up and went on with something else. And I told her, I said, "Don't hang up." I said, "I want to talk to you in the screening room." And I talked to her immediately in the screening room, and she said that she had just gotten out of a marriage after coming from another country. And when she married this guy, he literally beat her every night. And she finally got out of the marriage. But she said, "I don't see a reason to continue my life if this is the way it's going to be." I said, "No." I said, "Men are, you know," I said, "I've been married 30 years. I've never touched my wife. And there's many other men who are the same way." She said, "Really? Are you serious?" And from there, she called back the show about a month later, and she said, "Michael, I'm just calling to thank you for helping me." She said, "My life has changed. I'm now helping other battered women, and that is, you know, what the show is all about, by helping people wherever their problem is, and showing them that love, that we, you know, that we do care, we do help." That's just one of, you know, of many people have come to this show wanting to end their life. And some, you know, come to the show, they don't call in. Majority of people that listen to this show don't even call in. I mean, I've been a long time talk show radio listener, and, you know, for a long time, and I never called in. And, you know, one lady who in the very first year sent me an email that it really helped me continue to go on was like that. She lost her fiance in a car crash, and she was ready to end her life. And somehow she found this show. She don't know how she found it. And she started listening to it on her lunch breaks. And she said the show restored her faith. And she said, "I just want to thank you." And that came to me on a night I was thinking of ending the show in the first year because of all this hate that I received. So it's been an amazing ride, and most of you guys know Melvin. You know Melvin, our longtime brother from Georgia, who's really been part of the journey in life, calling in, listening for the whole 9 years, and he has such a loving heart. And when Melvin needed help, I knew we had to step into action twice. And for you who don't know Melvin from Georgia, he had a son who a couple years ago was shot and then lingered in the hospital for a year and then died right before Christmas. And then shortly after that, Melvin lost his job, and he was soon to be homeless. And he would tell me these things and saying, "It's getting tough, Michael, to hang on. It's getting tough." And I said, "Well, keep going, man. Keep pushing. Keep trying to, you know, turn things around. Praying for you." And then he, you know, called in and said, asked if he could speak to me. And he said, I don't know where else to turn." He said, "I'm just soon going to be homeless." And I knew then we had to step into action. And that's when, several months ago, it's been last year maybe, we raised for Melvin in 10 days, we raised $1,400 to pay back rent past due and get his lights current and all his utilities. And Melvin called into the show and let everybody know what a difference the show made and the people who donated made for him.
I'm going to just play this clip for you just so you, in case you didn't hear already, but to hear the joy in Melvin's voice when he called in makes you know, and I'll say this other part once we hear this little clip from Melvin talking about the people that helped him on the show here.
I'm doing good, brother. I love you, man. I just need to say something right quick.
Yeah. Hey. Go ahead, Melvin.
Go ahead, Melvin.
Okay. Hi. I just want to tell everybody, all the listeners, and I hope this goes to the archives. I'm talking about Michael. There's no other person would have stepped up and did what he did for me, but with the fundraiser, for the situation that I have been in, and all is caught up and everything's been paid, and I would never, ever would have done this without the love of this man. I love you, and I thank God for you. I thank, you know, everything you have done for me, Michael, and you're a great man, a truly great man of God, and I tell you, I don't know what day, but one day we're going to meet in Oklahoma or Georgia, and we're going to sit down and laugh about this. But I want to thank all the ones that donated. I don't know, some of them names was anonymous, but I want to thank them for their heart. Some of them I even added to my Facebook page, and I just want to thank everybody. Everybody stood up and beat the deadline. And it was a miracle. It's unbelievable. I'm up on my bills. I'm working now. And I'm looking towards nothing but success in my life. And with all, you know, with Michael being the man that he is and the heart that he has for love and helping people, that's who we need on this earth. Those type of people like Michael Long. Those type of people. We need people don't look out the outer rim, but look in the inner rim of someone's heart. And I love you, brother. I promise you I love you. And I thank you so much. Word, thank you is not enough for what you did, man. I love you.
And it chokes me up every time hearing that. And that's someone that all I've known from Melvin is meeting him on the show. But you can tell by just his voice, you can tell what's in his heart and what a difference we made. And people that were here during those 10 days of that fundraiser were asking me, like, you know, what is your connection with Melvin? They said, you're just like, you're so wrapped in this. You are so like almost possessed. And getting this done, and it was many things, but to me, if we hadn't raised the funds to help Melvin, I really thought I would have to reconsider what I'm doing on this show and maybe go in a different direction, because, you know, readings are great and all that and helping people. But, you know, if we're truly spiritual, we can do so much more, and we should, you know. And we later on, Melvin, we found out Melvin was without electricity some time back. And he's on medical equipment. And we in one evening raised $300 to get Melvin's lights back on. And it's just what you do, I think. You know, if you're truly spiritual and you got that love, cause that's what spirituality is. You got that foundation of that love. You do whatever you can to help people. And I know it's easy in this today's day, especially in this world we live in, to blow it off and just think of ourselves. I mean, we have such horrible examples in our leaders right now of our leadership, you know, worth millions and millions of dollars. But we need to focus on ourselves and what can we do as a body? And that is the question. And that leads us to our homeless mission that we started back in December with great help from Jennifer Taylor, my co-host on LA Talk Radio, who also runs a very great spiritual modality called Quantum Touch. And she's been such a big part of continuing this and helping with the funding of this. And I'm more than happy to go and do the legwork, which I do every weekend. And, you know, and it, like Melvin said, it's when you look at the inner of someone, not the outer. Just because someone is a different color than us, or they're from a different state, or they're from a different country, it doesn't matter. We're all connected. We're all souls. We're not, you know, Betty from Florida and Mike from Oklahoma. We're all souls connected. So that's why the homeless mission is such a something really near and dear to my heart. Because like I said earlier, I knew I would always be doing the homeless mission. And here it is. Because my work is all about caring for my ill wife, caring for my family, caring for the people on this show, caring for Bonnie, caring for, you know, whoever comes in my life, Melvin, whoever burls down the street doing two shopping carts. He don't have millions of dollars like Donald Trump and his son-in-law. You know, he's got two shopping carts full of cans. So that's what I mean. If we can't, as a body here on Journey in the Light, raise funds for, you know, we're not talking about a whole bunch of different projects. We're not talking about building homes, which would cost so much, which would be so great. But, you know, we're talking about small things right now. But feeding homeless people is not a small thing. Many are very hungry. So, you know, it's amazing that we can do these shows, and Bonnie, my producer, is here with me almost every day, and we can do hours and hours of shows, and we look at the Journey in Light fundraising, and it's pretty much empty, and we do hours and hours of shows, but we gotta do more. I mean, the Bible speaks about this over and over, and one of the great things that I really love, and I just love how this speaks about where I have always felt about Journey into the Light. Just like the thing we did with Melvin, I have felt for years that, you know, when someone comes needing help, like say, let's say Melvin, for example, the most that any show would ever do in the past was, you know, send blessings to Melvin and prayers. Now, not downing either of those, but we live in the physical world, though, and we need money to pay rent and utilities. It would be nice if we could call our, you know, our landlord and say, we're sending you blessings for rent this month, and they say, all right, paid. But it doesn't work that way. So we got to do more. And it's very easy. And in this Bible passage in James chapter 2, it speaks about this exactly. And it says in there, if a brother or a sister is poorly clothed, lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for their body, what good is that? Now, that's not even me saying that. I love it. I love this. James chapter 2, this is not even me. This is straight from the Bible, verses 14 through 18, if you want to read it again. It says again, I gotta read one more time. If a brother or sister who is poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, and one of us says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for their body, what good is that? And that's exactly what I was saying a few minutes ago about Melvin. What good is it to say prayers and blessings if we're not going to give him what he needs? We're not going to like put together something, right? Good is that. See also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith with my works. And that's a lot of the Christian churches, you know, they're very good in, well, I got faith, but, you know, do you go and help the poor? Do you, you know, that's the thing. But, you know, we're not here to judge. So I'm not going any further in that. But I love that. And and Proverbs says, whoever gives to the poor will not want. Whoever gives to the poor will not want. That's how it, when we talk about it, comes back to us. It's not me or Bonnie saying that. It's straight here from the Bible. God's word. And I talked about how, you know, the people that I've met, you know, I believe many of them are angels in disguise. And, you know, there's many stories in the Bible of people broken down the side of the road and, you know, the Good Samaritan and will you come and help? And it really was Jesus or an angel in disguise. And the Bible speaks about that, about not neglecting the poor because many of them are disguised as angels. And many of the people I have spoken to have told me, you know, smile, it's in his hands. I mean, right from the chute. And one said, you know, it's all about love. And he said, you know that, don't you, brother? He said, you already know that. And I said, how did you know? We do a spiritual radio show and an outreach ministry. You know, and so we all have to look inside ourselves. And can we give? Can we give? It's not about them. It's not about why are they out there. Many people do that, and they do that because it lessens their guilt because they just drive on by. But it's on us. Can we give? You know, I know people will listen to this for months from now, so I've been talking about a movie I saw this weekend called Silence, and I just want to really suggest everybody go and see the movie. It's on, you know, online now and things like that. And it really is a true story, and it's about a couple of priests who go out to Japan to find a priest who's missing. And in this time, they really have to question their faith. And during this time of the movie, because it's almost 3 hours long, it really gives you time to think about your mission, your faith, what's important to you. And I know it did me. And I know this show and the homeless mission is something very near and dear to my soul that I know I am finally doing my mission. You know, we're all here for certain missions in life, right? And I think we're all here for a specific mission, a big big mission in life. You know, many people who've had near-death experiences, they are sent back and they're told, you haven't finished your work yet. And I know this is my body of work. And so I'm asking you, or is two things. The link is on the show page, and unless it will make you homeless tonight, and your heart is showing you this, please make a donation of any size. If it will make you possibly homeless tomorrow, please, I'm not speaking to you at all. I do not want anybody on their last dollar to make a donation. That's not the reason for it. But there are folks out there who can donate $5, $10, $20, $50, $100. I mean, gosh, you know, you think, Bonnie, someday someone would come and donate a large sum, you know, like some wealthy person that would just, oh, my goodness. I think I would lose it. But one day, is what I'm told, one day. And so that is love. That is spirituality. At its core, right there, I think, at least, of what embodies the show, what embodies what the show is about. It's about helping people where they're at, put a smile on people's face, and helping people wherever we can, and whatever it may be. And I would love to hear your feedback on this. You can always send me a message through Facebook, email, but Facebook is awesome. And I know people will listen to this weeks and months to come. I'm going to go ahead and put it in the featured section so I don't have to go through this. Wasn't the easiest thing emotionally, but I did better than I thought. Didn't start off too well, though, Bonnie. But I'm glad you're here. And I tell you, Bonnie is one special person. I tell you, it's just a very light in my life, the real bright light in my life. And when you speak about people that have a heart of gold, they don't come around that often. Bonnie is one. So thank you so much for being my friend. And I thank everybody else for being here and being part of the show. And Diane, I know you're listening. I want to thank you for your kindness and friendship and having such a heart of gold also. Being a very caring person, and so many people that have come through this show, and so many people have really made this show possible. That really helped in the early years, and if Jenny Davis is listening to this, she was so instrumental in helping me in the early years, and I can never stop thanking her. So if she is listening, I just want to give her a shout out, and she runs her own talk radio network, Intuitive Talk is the name of it, and it's the number of people and souls that have passed through Journey in the Light. Kimmy, my first host in the chat room. I mean, I can go on, and So I do thank all of you, and so hopefully we'll see a difference in the homeless mission, Bonnie. And if you can't donate to the mission that we do, you know, you can give yourself when you see a homeless person or someone else in need, maybe someone in your local community, like we did with Melvin. We had someone on the last show said she helps feed the homeless on the beach. Awesome, awesome. That's what I told her in the screening room. Bless you. Awesome, awesome. So there's many ways, and when you do it, you see others doing it too. I think I've kind of lost my voice, but we have a tomorrow on the LA show, LA Talk Radio, Empowering Your Life. Everybody should listen tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern. We have a guest on who's never been on, I've never interviewed her in my life, and she is from so many different countries, and she is all about helping others in a big way too. And I learn more tomorrow, but I am so excited about it, really am. So that's tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern. I'll put the links up later on. So first show tomorrow, and I'll give that to Bonnie since the show is going to be dated. I don't want to give any content information. Okay. Well, that's it. I do thank you all for listening. I do see the folks that are on the switchboard. Warms my heart that some of you folks were listening on the phone for the full hour. I didn't know I could interest people talking that long, but without even doing readings. How about that, Bonnie? But I definitely lost my voice. It'll be back tomorrow. It'll be back tomorrow. All right, everybody. 60 seconds in my ear. I got to wrap up. So take care, everybody. Much love to all of you. And I really mean that. All of you. Make someone's life a little bit of a difference tomorrow, even if it's just a smile. God bless. Good night.